I'll leave it on just for a minute. Battery. All right, let's open our Bibles now, the book of Ecclesiastes. And tonight, we're going to make a big step starting into chapter number 2. Amen. I want to try to get the point across that the Bible's the greatest book on earth, and I hope that you'll stay with us now. We've come through chapter 1, and if you'll be here every Wednesday night throughout these cold months here in the next several weeks and couple of months, we're going to make a journey through the book of Ecclesiastes. We're starting in chapter 2 tonight, and I just want you to look at what this man did. God took King Solomon, he put him up here and said, here's an example to follow. There, you're going to learn about men tonight, or I'm going to bring up certain people that try to compare themselves to what King Solomon had. But none of them can compare. You don't know anybody that can compare with what King Solomon had. So tonight, we got the key phrases is under the sun. You remember that? The Bible, and Solomon's talking about, he's not talking about in heaven or even eternity. He's talking about the works under the sun. Keep that in mind. And then he's also, the other key phrase is vanity. Vanity. If all there is this life, and all you have is a home down here and your family, it's all vanity. You end up getting sick, suffering, and finally dying. One event happens to all. Don't care how much money you got, you're going to die too. Don't matter how smart you are, still going to die. It's vanity without eternity and God in the picture. Now, tonight, here's a man that said this. He had the means and the method to do it. He said, I'm going to try everything there is and see what it's like. There are a lot of people in the world tonight who have that philosophy. They want to do everything, try everything. You know people. You know people say, you ought to travel, you ought to go everywhere you can go, you ought to see all you can see. And I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's the way to get a good education. But if you think that's somehow going to do it for you and satisfy your deep longings of your soul, it ain't going to do it. Most people in Morganton think if I just had more money or a nicer house or a different husband or a different job, or I could be happy like some of them people I see on TV. What you don't realize is them people on TV that supposedly got that stuff still something missing down inside them. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes deals with. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I'll prove thee with mirth. You know what mirth is, just cutting up, partying, living it up. Therefore enjoy pleasure. So Solomon says, I'm going to do everything I can to please my flesh. And behold, this also is vanity. He set out and he said, I'm going to do everything. Anything that I see, I'm going to do. Anywhere I want to go, I'm going to go. Anything I want to have, I'll have. Anything I want, I'll buy. Anything that my flesh desires. And he said, that's what I'm going to do for myself. I know some of y'all sitting there saying, wow, wouldn't that be great? But take it from the wisest man that ever lived. If you did that, then what? Then what? That's going to be a key word of our study tonight. Then what? What are you going to do then? He said, Lord, I'd sure like to try it. Well, that's the way our flesh is. I mean, our flesh wants, we'd all like to have a nicer house. We'd all like to have more money. That's human nature. But don't get it in your head that if you did, somehow you'd be satisfied and happy. You hear people on TV all the time, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Well, guess what? They're looking for it in the wrong place. As it ain't in people, things, money, pleasure, it's not in there. The wisest man that ever lived said, verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? That's a good question. What good does it do to life? Now, I like to laugh, don't you? I mean, y'all know me. I'm a cut up. Sometimes I have to behave myself because I make a joke out of a lot of things I shouldn't. But I can't help it. I was born that way. When my mama met my daddy, he was telling jokes in a bar, getting paid for it. So I get it honest. And, they can tell big long tales and, you never heard such junk they could tell. My kin folks up in West Virginia, they're known for telling tales. And I'm like, I got a sense of humor. I can make a joke. And it's fun, but what doeth it? What if you look, if you set up and laugh for an hour tonight, it'd be fun. I mean, I'd enjoy it. People pay a lot of money. That's why they get OJ Leno and David Letterman, they get paid big bucks to make people laugh. That's their job, make you laugh. We pay them to make us laugh. We have more fun right here in our church, one service, than they do paying big bucks for it. But what doeth it? What good's it? I mean, the next day you ain't a bit better off. The next day you ain't got nothing to show for it. Now, the Bible does say laughter doeth good like a medicine. But it's present tense. Present tense. It can add years to your life. Any good speaker, if he has a little humor in his message, it helps people. It gets people's attention. Nothing wrong with it. That's why God gave us the ability. God didn't give us the ability to laugh and have a sense of humor for people to tell dirty jokes. He gave that to us for enjoy being saved and you know, a lot of the funniest things ever in the world happened at church. I mean, Lord have mercy, I got a list of them in my other Bible at home. It's crazy stuff that couldn't happen nowhere but church. I mean, y'all, like the Mississippi Squirrel Revival, y'all have heard of that, ain't you? How many have never heard of the Mississippi Squirrel Revival? They're from up north. They're from up north. No, I'm just kidding, sister. The Mississippi Squirrel Revival is somewhere down in Louisiana or somewhere. I don't know where it was. Wendy Bagwell, them told that old crazy story. And have a big camp meeting going on. The squirrel got in there somehow and run up somebody's britches legs. And people got to shouting, and they thought the Holy Ghost was in there. And couldn't find out it wasn't nothing squirrel. Nothing but of a squirrel, but... God used it. There's a lot of stuff like that's funny. Some of the funniest things I ever seen in my life happen at church. I mean, it'll crack you up. You can't help but laugh. And that's fun, but it is mad. It is mad. Now, the Bible said this kind of laughter is like this. Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And you know them people on TV? When they have them big comedians come out and they're standing in front of a brick wall, I tell the kids, don't ever watch a show where somebody's standing in front of a brick wall. Never. Just turn it off. And you always got some idiot standing in front of a brick wall telling jokes, and everybody says, ha, but deep down inside, a lot of them's miserable. A lot of them just miserable. They know what they got to go back to tomorrow. They know what's coming up, court dates, you know, divorce. They got a disease inside. America is just laughing its way to hell tonight. And Solomon says, what doeth it? Y'all can stop me anytime you want to if you want to say something about laughter. It's good, it's fun, and it's good for you. But it don't really profit you for good. Go ahead, Brother Ray. Really? Well, I like to laugh, and the hard. How many of you have ever done this? Have you ever got just absolutely tickled at something, and you're somewhere where you ain't supposed to be laughing, and you can't quit? That's awful. I'm telling you, that's awful. I mean, at school, we'd get tickled in school, and I mean, you could not stop. I don't care how hard you try. I'd try to think of something awful to make myself stop laughing, and you cannot. You get that in church a lot of times. I've seen y'all. I have to stand up here where everybody can see my face. I had a lot of people tell me, say, Brother Danny, we can tell exactly what we knew good and well. You was cracking up. You know, well, I was telling somebody today, we had a guy come up to New Manor one time, and he's about half crazy anyway. And he got up there and he wanted to sing. I let him sing. He got up there with the guitar. He got up there and said, sure is good to be here tonight. Ding, 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 ding. Glad to be saved. Ding, 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 ding. But he tuned his guitar. Finally, he said, I can't sing with this chewing gum in my mouth. He looked around, stuck it on the end of his guitar. I mean, everybody just their shoulders just going up and down like that. It's awful when you're just about to crack up, but you're in a real solemn, you know, funeral or something. You ain't supposed to laugh or a wedding. Boy, I've heard some tales, I'm telling you. But it's vanity. Vanity ain't going to help you tomorrow or the next day. It's fun while it lasts. And what profit under the sun? Look at verse 3. Now, here's where it really gets good. Verse 3. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. He didn't just take a sip. He got dog drunk. That's what the Bible talks about a bishop not giving the wine. He didn't say, I'm just going to take a little drink. He gave himself to it. He wanted to find out why so many people like to get drunk. There's a lot of people get drunk. Must be some fun in it. I ain't never been drunk. I don't even know what it feels like. I've been sick on merry-go-round. But if that's what it is, I'll never take a drink. But I don't know what it feels like to be drunk. It must feel good. It must feel, because they sure are. People pay a lot and lose their job and marriage and everything in the world just to get that. So Solomon says, I'm going to try it. Yet acquainting my heart with wisdom. He said, even while I was drinking and everything, in the back of my head, I'm saying, what good is this doing? I'm saying, and you know, I'm like, I'm sure you have. Hadn't you done stuff out there in the world after you saved? And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, is this all there is to this? This ain't no big deal. Overrated. That's what most sin is. You know, overrated. They do it to get you in, and then it ain't what it's cracked up to be. And to lay hold on folly. He said, I'm going to lay hold on folly, man. I'm going to do everything anybody can do till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. And then he's getting ready to tell you what he did. Now, stop right there just a second. He took notes on his sin. Solomon done everything that anybody could do now. He didn't have the gadgets we got. He didn't have a cell phone, but he had every type of pleasure that we have now, and he tried it all. You name it, he tried it. You say getting high, he got drunk. You say live in a mansion, he had a mansion. You say being rich, he was the richest man to ever live. You say any kind of possessions, lands, fleshly pleasures, sensual fleshly pleasures. He had 700 wives and 300 living girlfriends. Hugh Hefner couldn't touch him with a 48-foot pole. Hugh Hefner is a little peon with a beginner compared to Solomon. I mean, you kids watch this and say, oh, I have the Playboy Mansion. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go? That's a that dump. I mean, that's where Solomon's servants lived. Amen? That's right. Let's see what he did. Verse 4. I made me great works. I made me great works. Buddy, that's an understatement of the year. He said, anything anybody likes, I did it. I builded me houses. You know, there's a lot of people that want a bunch of houses. I builded me houses. Amen? That's right. He had a summer home, a winter home. You know anybody like that? How many of y'all know people that's got more than one home? They think, this will make me happy. I have one in Boone, and I have one at Myrtle Beach, and we have a condo here and there. That's not necessarily wrong. Solomon said, I'm going to see what it's like to have a bunch of homes. Did you know there are people who just get some kind of satisfaction and fulfillment out of building? I'll be honest with you. I get a kick out of that building program over there. It's a headache. You know why he liked it back in them days? There wasn't no codes or building inspectors. It'd be fun to build if it wasn't for that. I had a builder tell me, since we started the church, he said, I got out of construction. He said, there's so many codes that drive you crazy, it ain't fun no more. But you know, if there wasn't no codes and no building inspectors, you could just build. There's something in the side of a man that likes to see something built. We're just like that. You get a thrill out of it, you know, even if it's just a garage or anything. Well, he built him houses. Look what else he did. He said, I planted me vineyards. You know anybody gets satisfaction out of that? Vines of grapes and orchards and he just had it all. Now, I know people in Hollywood has got two or three houses, but they ain't got big fields with crops. Solomon got more than they had. Vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. Planted trees and all kinds of fruits, verse 5. So here's a man, he's got 700 wives, 300 girlfriends. He's got a bunch of houses. He's got fields of crops of every type of fruit you can imagine. Grapes, I mean oranges, apples, strawberries, whatever they could grow in that part of the world, he had it all. Every kind of tree. There's an oak tree, pine tree, balsam tree. There's a ficus tree. There's a poplar. There's this. He had every kind of tree. Built more forest, couldn't touch it with a 30-foot pole. I'm telling you, he had all kinds of trees, and look, you know, a lot of people enjoy that. There's a lot of people get satisfaction out of owning a bunch of property. I went out to Texas and preached, and they was telling me about the King Ranch years ago. I don't know how many of y'all ever heard of the King Ranch in Texas. That one ranch in Texas, before the man died and they finally split it up for the kids, but at one time, the King Ranch in Texas was bigger than the country of England. One ranch. It was bigger than England, brother. And that they had their own cops, police, their own fire department. Actually, I mean, it's so big, you couldn't call from the next town. It was a village, community. I forget how many hundreds of thousands of acres. Does anybody know? I got it wrote down somewhere. But how many of y'all have heard of the King Ranch? It split it up, you know, when the man died. And it's still humongous. But out in Texas, they don't say I got so many acres. They say sections. Y'all have been to Texas, you know. They say I own 30 sections. And a section is like 10 square miles or something. I mean, they don't even go by acres. There's so many of them. Of course, I don't know what you've got when you've got 10,000 acres in Texas. First time I went out there, I thought we took a wrong turn and landed on the moon. Out there, it's just no trees and flat. I thought, Lord, this is the moon. I mean, if you see a tree out there in Amarillo, Texas, in the panhandle, somebody planted it because it wasn't there originally. It's awful. It's all desert. But I don't know what you'd want with 1,000 acres of that. But anyway, Solomon had it. Look here what he said. Verse 7, I got me servants and maidens and servants born in my house. Hey, I had so many servants as having babies and raising up second generation servants. And I had great possessions, great and small, cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. More than anybody's ever had cattle. Thousands and tens of thousands of cattle. He had maid servants and men servants. All he had to do is call in his head servant and say, I'm going to have a party tonight. I want 1,000 gallons of new wine brought in, 85 or 90 of my favorite wives, and I want filet mignon that thick and that big for everyone here. He can do that 7 days a week. You know anybody can do that? With no restrictions? I'm telling you, this man tried everything there was. He said, I didn't keep myself back from nothing. You say, well, I didn't think he was so wicked. What he's saying is, I'm going to show you here what he says. Look here. Men servants. He hired somebody to do his toenails. He had somebody to do he didn't have to pay taxes. There wasn't no IRS. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that have been a blessing? Wasn't no president, he was the president. He was the king. And it's an absolute monarchy, dictatorship. He didn't have to go meet with Congress before he made a decision. Anybody know anybody like that? No, you don't. No, you don't. Paul McCartney couldn't eat even in the ball game. I mean, Howard Hughes, Bill Gates can't do that. He can't snap his fingers and build a house anywhere he wants to, anytime he wants to, as big as he wants to. He can't do it. There's laws to go by. Donald Trump, he can't do it. They're fussing because he had a big flag in his yard a few months ago. And we're fussing to make Donald Trump take his flag down. You ain't going to make Solomon take his flags down. Donald Trump is a beginner. You know what I'm trying to get y'all to see? Let's see a man that had it all, did it all, and when he got through, he said, it's nothing. He said, that's not true. If I had all that, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. You know, when the man finally climbed Mount Everest, he died the other day. Did y'all hear about the man who first climbed Mount Everest died? You know what he thought? They thought, boy, if anybody ever gets to the top of that thing, it'll be wonderful. When they got up there, you know what they got? 40-mile-an-hour wind in the face. He said, now what are we going to do? Ain't nowhere else to go. Who was telling me? Was it Brother Mose? One of y'all was telling me that the quarterback that won the Super Bowl last year before, is that who it was, brother? Peyton Manning? Who was it told me that? Somebody told me that the quarterback that won the Super Bowl the last couple of years, when he got to the top, he got all the honors, got the trophy, he said, Now what? Now what? And that's the way this flesh is. This flesh, I don't care if you got 14 Grammys, you'd go home and set them up on your shelf and say, is that it? I mean, that's true. That's true. That's what he said. Anybody got a question? Comment. We have test. Look at Britney Spears. Is there any reason she should be out running around on drugs and get her? She's got anything a girl could want and about to lose it all. You know why? Because it still don't do it for her. There's still something missing. Anybody got a question? Comment. I know what y'all said. You bunch of rednecks, man, never had nothing. You're sitting there thinking, buddy, I'd give anything in the world. Well, you know, there's part of all. There's part of me that like to say, you know, money can't make you happy, but I'd sure like to try, wouldn't you? Of course we would. Of course we would. But don't let the devil. The truth is, most of us are never going to be rich in this world, right? I mean, let's just face it. We're not going to be rich. Every once in a while, some of you crazy young people think you're smart and pretty. Somebody told you you're pretty and you think you can go to Hollywood. You ain't going to Hollywood. You'd have to sell out and get demon-possessed for Hollywood to look at you twice. And that's right. That's the only way. Hollywood ain't going to look at you unless you get demon-possessed and full of the devil and willing to bow down to them. And we're never going to go to Hollywood, people. We ain't never going to get rich. So it ain't going to happen for us. Let's find our happiness where you're supposed to find it. Anybody?
I'm just thinking, over I give before I sleep. I think my son, if y'all have perfect people, he says you go use any time
you want.
I
didn't think
about it. It ain't really worth the trouble.
If it goes,
it's gone back.
Yeah, that's
how
you know you're getting old. That's true. Amen. You know you're getting old. If when you bend over to tie your shoe, you say, now, is there anything else I need to do while I'm down here? Look what else he did. Look what else he did. Look what else he did. Look at verse 8. I gathered me also silver and gold. Had silver and gold, brother. The temple was overlaid with gold. Solomon's temple, you can read about it back in the old, you know, further back in the Old Testament. Overlaid with gold. It'd be like us taking that new church over there and overlaying that thing in solid gold. Man, got some money to do that. They said it's worth $4 billion back in that day. What would that, I mean, they probably ain't that much gold in Fort Knox. What it'd be worth now. Silver and gold. And peculiar treasure of kings. That means he had weird stuff in his house. Have you ever noticed how rich people have weird stuff in their house? My sister, she's not rich, but I mean, her and her husband, they make good, he makes good money. He's a plant manager in Ethan Allen, and everything, and he's over the lot of the Ethan Allen stores. They got weird stuff in their house. Don't tell her I said that. Like these stupid faces that look like baboons. They're from Africa or somewhere, and they're just long faces. They're made out of wood. She's got them on her wall. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a scary-looking demon face. Comes way down here like it and just goes, ugh. And she's got them on the wall in her bedroom. I said, I would not go to sleep in a room with that thing looking at me like that. He got peculiar treasure. A tiger from Japan or somewhere overlaid with silver or some fool thing like that. Yeah, rich people want to have some. Oh, that's mahogany piece that come from China, and that was, you know, on the Titanic. You know, they make them think, I've got something you ain't got. That's the pleasure you get out of that is, I've got something you ain't got. Anybody know anybody like that? You've got something we ain't got. You're the only person that rides around with flags sticking out of his car and Bible scriptures on. Anybody know anybody like that? Come on now. Who is it, we? Yeah. Nothing particular? You ever notice how rich people, they think, I'm the only one in town that has this on my mantle. This was a piece of wood from, you know, Princess Diana walked on or something. Yeah, hard imported from somewhere. And when you're up walking through there in the middle of the night, you couldn't care less where that wood come from. You know? Wow. I ain't saying it's wrong to have them faces, but them looks like demons to me. They're black and they're long and they're weird looking. See what he said? I got peculiar treasure of the king. Small. He, I don't know. I mean, it ain't wrong. But I tell you, do you honestly think if you had that stuff in your house, you'd be happy? Some of them people commit suicide. That's what he's saying. It's vanity. Anybody else? Don't nobody else know no rich people? We don't even know we clean their houses, I reckon. We call that pearl, mother of pearl. Yeah, I've seen that stuff. Now, if you got this stuff in your house, I don't care. I'm happy for you. But people fuss about a motel. When I'm asleep in a motel, it could cost $200 a night, or $80, or $40. And you never know the difference unless it smells. That's just at the smell. I can tell when those people from other countries run them when I walk in and smell it. But anyway, anybody else want to talk about that? Peculiar treasure. Anybody in here got any peculiar treasure? Anybody in here have any unpeculiar treasure? Do you really? You need to sell that. Anybody else who has some exotic treasure? Tell us and we'll break in your house and get it. Nobody ain't got no exotic peculiar treasure. We still have paneling on the walls. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can eat and sleep just as good with that paneling on the walls as you can with mother of pearl. Amen. That's what he's saying. Let's look at it, verse 8. I got me men singers. I got me some men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men. Anything a man could enjoy as musical instruments and that of all sorts. Okay? Here, people say, oh, he didn't have what we got. Man, I got stereo and I got speakers in every room. Solomon didn't fool with that. He hired the whole blessed band. When he wanted music in the house, I mean, brother, he could hire the Philharmonic Orchestra, bless God, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and say, get over here and sing for me a couple of hours tonight. And you say he didn't have air conditioning. Man, he had a man standing here, one of them big feathers, just doing like this. He said, it's getting hotter, turn it up. He'd do like this. He'd turn the air up, it's hot in here. He had fire when it was cold. He had, you can't have nothing. Listen, if Solomon was here today, he'd live in something about five times big as a Biltmore house, and he'd have every gadget known to man, every kind of computer, every kind of remote, everything, you know. And when he got through, you say, well, Bill Gates don't even have to turn the lights on. When he walks in a room, the lights automatically come on in his house. Solomon didn't have to turn the lights on either. He had somebody lighting candles, all that. He didn't. Anything you can imagine now, he didn't have video games. They had some way of figuring out little old games they could play that they could get just as much pleasure out or delight as people do today. Nowadays, everybody says, the new, this is new. There is nothing new under the sun. I hate to tell you. It's what it says. Look at here. He had men singers and women singers. Think about the choir he could hire to come in. He could, if he wanted to hear the Beatles, he just paid them to come over and sing for him. If he wanted to hear Queen Latifah or Whitney Houston or God knows who, he just paid them to come in and sing. A poop doggy dog, any of them, any of them. I mean, he hired them to come in and do a rap, a dance. I mean, exotic dancers, belly dancers, dropping grapes in their mouth. You name it, brother, he tried it. He tried it. And that's called... that's called hedonism, H-E-D-O-N-I-S-M, hedonism. And that means pleasure. The guy, that's a Greek word, gazino, Epicurus. You've heard of Epicureanism in the Bible. That means don't deny your flesh. That's the doctrine believed by people that go to spring break. That's Epicureanism. That's 2,000 years old. The people who go to spring break believe what Solomon tried. Don't deny yourself nothing. Give your flesh whatever it wants. You do that nowadays, you know where you wind up? In jail. On your way to hell. You'll stop off in jail a few years. Look at this. So I was great, verse 9, we'll have to hurry. I was great and increased more than all that were before me. Also my wisdom remained with me. And I skipped something here somewhere. What did I? Yeah, 6, I'm sorry, thank you. Look here, everybody wants a swimming pool. Look what he had. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. Listen, half the people in America say, I'd love to have a pool. I'd love to have a pool. I'd love to have a pool. Listen, Brother Danny, I'm not King Solomon, but I can give you a little advice on pool. You want a headache? Put you in a swimming pool. They're worse than a kid. Listen, if your kids are little, then it'll benefit you. If your kids are little, save you a lot of money. You don't have to go to Gatlinburg. But they'll still get bored and want to go to Gatlinburg. Or they'll still want to go to the beach. But if your kids are grown, it ain't worth fooling with. Ours this year, I've had mine since the girls were little. After the first 2 or 3 weeks of summer, they didn't even go out there unless their friends were over there. And, you know, I've been around this for long enough. Here's what they all say. They'll say, if Daddy or your wife will say, honey, if you'll put a pool in, we'll clean it. We'll vacuum it. Yeah, right. You know who's going to wind up keeping? Old Daddy is. You're going to do all the vacuum. You're going to fool with the liner. It's ripped. You're going to mess with the pump when it goes out. It's a lot worse than having a dog. You know, you have to feed a dog every day? Swimming pool. If the kids are little, great, go for it. But if they ain't, you're about wasting your money. Look at what Solomon had. Pool. You know how big his swimming pool was? 582 feet long. Mine's 36 by 18. Solomon, according to the Old Testament, was 582 feet long and 107 feet wide and 50 feet deep. And he had more than one of them, pools. Anybody in Hollywood got a 580-foot pool that's 50 feet deep? Can't touch it. Can't touch it. A 580-foot pool, brother, is almost from here to Ingles or from here to Taco Bell. And it's 50 feet deep. That's a pool, brother. So he had it all. You can't think of nothing they've got. You say, boy, out there in Hollywood, they've got... I've been to Hollywood. I've rode all over them Hollywood Hills and looked at them mansions and everything, and they're nice. They got Bentleys out in the front yard. They got Mercedes and all that. But it ain't nothing like what he had. I mean, nothing like he had. Well, let's see the conclusion. Look at verse 11 or 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Look at that. Whatsoever. Folly, myrrh. It didn't matter if it was good, bad, anything anybody had, he tried it. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And look at verse 11. I hate to tell you this, kids. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness. See, he didn't just learn good stuff. He learned stupid, crazy, wicked stuff. Madness and folly. For what can the man do? Everybody looking at this? Everybody look at this verse. Verse 12. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been done, already done. He said, ain't nobody coming after me and do something I ain't done. What about that? Anybody comes after me, they ain't going to do nothing I ain't done. Ain't nobody going to come up to me and say, boy, you ever tried this, King? Done it. Been there, done that. That's why he should have wore on his shirt, brother. Been there, done that. Wouldn't that have been good? That'd probably be the name of this book in the New Modern Version. Been there, done that by King Solomon. But anyway, look what he said. Verse 13. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. He said, when I got through with all this stuff, I realized that if you're a wise man, you're as far ahead of a fool as light is ahead of darkness. Boy, we're getting somewhere now. You're getting an education. You know what you can do tonight? You can do one of two things. You can take Solomon's word for it and say, you know what? God's been good to me. I'm just going to be happy with what I've got and rejoice and try to live for God and enjoy life. Or you can say, I want this and I want that. And if I just have this and I just have that. You can live like that if you want to. But the wisest man to ever live said, it's vanity. Get your heart right. Do right. Be content with what you've got. And you are a rich person. The rich man, somebody's happy with what he's got. Poor people's always wanting something. And that's the way most movie stars are. Amen? All right. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this study of the wisest man that ever lived. I pray that you'd put things in our heart that'll help us